Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
What changed for the offense?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have my. I'd just be bullshitting me if I was just saying this change or that change. Like, you know, we didn't hit the mark in a lot of ways. And going in, we had a specific way if we wanted to go play to go win it. And when you don't do that, it's collective. It's not, you know, about one.
I hadn't heard that one, there at the end, a specific way they wanted to go in and win it. And I'm telling you, I guarantee you, part of that plan was we got to win this by maintaining possession of the football on offense. And they didn't do it enough. They just did not do it enough. They had to know that this was going to be difficult defensively. But the opportunity against Dallas's defense was to, you know, keep up, and they didn't. And then the quarterback that would have given them a chance maybe in the second half to keep up got hurt. All right, other observations and then your calls. So I'll start with Jaden's day. Clearly not as best as I've already discussed. Didn't get much help, with the drops and the penalties. And I think maybe, you know, a little bit more patience with the run game on Cliff's part. But he also was not at his best. He missed a couple of throws. His accuracy this year, even going back to the opener against the Giants, hasn't been what it was last year. Now, you could certainly point to the receivers that were on the field yesterday, for sure, but he missed high on a throw to Ertz, missed Lane on what should have been an easy pitch and catch, quick out. But I think they both happened, by the way, in the same drive. Brady pointed out, and I think this is an all-22 question, that there were some throws he could have made, and he made other decisions. I think you can say that about every quarterback every week, but still, it was Brady. 12 of 22 with, I think, three drop passes, maybe a fourth, for 156 yards and basically just barely over a half of play. He had some moments, man. The third and goal touchdown pass to Ertz was outstanding. He had a couple of other really good extension off-schedule plays as both a passer and a scrambler. I think highlighted by the play before the play he got hurt. That third and 10 to Moore was massive. And that got him down to the Dallas 39. And, you know, I kept thinking they're going to score here, and it should be for the lead if they had managed the end of the first half better. He had the early 44-yard connection with Moore on their first touchdown drive, multiple conversions on third down, including the touchdown to Ertz, including a third and 10 to Robbie Chosen in the first half, the 35-yarder to Jalen Lane, a little bit off schedule on the third and six. had some really good scrambles on that final drive of the first half, had that third and two designed run on the first third down in the third quarter where he got to the sideline and reached the ball out for the first down. Did a really good job to snag that bad snap at the goal line by Biotish. Last week, you know, it wasn't a bad snap. It was a wet ball that he tried to hand to Bill and ended up, you know, costing them really the game. Yesterday, he just kept it himself, regained possession of it, kept it himself, and ran it in for a touchdown. I thought he did a really nice job on that free shot to Chosen on the offside. Should have been DPI, defensive pass interference. But like the rest of the offense, and I'm sure no Debo, no Terry, you know, those are the two biggies, Noah Brown to a lesser extent. They've made do with just Debo on the field, but last week or Monday night, Debo wasn't completely healthy and obviously out yesterday. But still, you know, overall for me, I think this was Jaden's most disappointing game of the year because the opponent was so bad on defense themselves coming in. Again, the penalties, the drops, those things, you know, are a pain in the you-know-what. But he was always able to overcome those things in the past. And he didn't really, for the most part, do it yesterday. Again, we've seen slow starts turn into heroic finishes with this guy. And maybe that's what we were starting to see on that first drive of the third quarter. But we'll never know. I think he was a C in a game in which he needed to be an A. And yeah, you could pin it on limitations offensively and mistakes made by a lot of the rest of the offense, but we've never not expected him to overcome those things in the past, especially against a team. You know, Green Bay was difficult because they're really good defensively. This team was not good defensively, and he didn't overcome it. He didn't. Maybe he was on the verge of it, but we'll never know. Other quick observations. Marcus Mariota. Man, I'll tell you what about Mariota. He is excellent on zone read decision-making and then keepers where he runs with the football. He looks better than Jaden running those right now. Certainly this year, he does. He had a couple of decent throws. Marcus Mariota is a dual-threat quarterback. That's what he was in college when he won the Heisman Trophy, and that's what he's been in the NFL. He's not a drop back and pass quarterback. He is effective when he is dual threat, where he is part of the run game, a big part of the run game, and by the way, taking advantage of being a part of the run game. But God almighty, I mean, that interception was horrendous. The fourth down that they went for where McCaffrey is wide open. And guys weren't necessarily wide open, but McCaffrey was. He missed him by a mile. He took two sacks on 10 dropbacks, or on 12 total dropbacks. That's not good. I said this on my podcast last night before the QBR rating came out for the game. I'm like, QBR is not going to treat him well. I didn't realize it treated him this badly. In the game, he was a 7. Hold on, where is it? I had it. Again, he played a half of football, or a little bit less, a 7.4 QBR, a 22.1 passer rating. With that said, I do love the dual stuff, the dual threat stuff with him. I think he's an excellent zone read decision maker, and I think he's a really good, even at this age, a really good runner. He's just not a drop back guy. He never has been that. If he has to play Monday night, he's going to be a big part of the run game. You're going to see a pure, I think. Look, he does a lot of the same things Jaden does, which is why he's the perfect backup in the perfect situation for this team. And I have confidence that if he has to start a game or two, that they'll be competent offensively. But what I think you'll see more of is I think you'll see more aggression from Cliff in the dual threat QB attack from an option, you know, run standpoint, and from a designed run standpoint. Bad calls in the game, man, and missed calls. I'll start with this. I thought the defensive pass interference on the first drive of the game against Lattimore was really I mean, I'm not going to kill the call, but Brady was wrong that all he has to do is get his head turned around and it's probably not called. He did get his head turned around. It wasn't completely turned around, but he made the effort and the head turned and looked back at the ball briefly. I just thought that, are we going to get this called today? I mean, how they called that and didn't call the one on Robbie Chosen at the end of the first half is not consistent application of the defensive pass interference penalty. I thought the roughing the passer on Jacob Martin when Prescott's helmet just came off, because clearly it was loose, was a terrible call. Now, they had a legal contact on that play as well. I mean, they really, you know, got their money's worth on penalties yesterday. But 15 yards versus 5 is a big deal. I thought the tripping on Yankoff on the kickoff return was real ticky-tack. It wasn't a pure trip, and the ball carrier was basically on the verge of going down anyway. The false start on the long snapper that would have given them a first down had it been called offsides. Even Pereira said that's not the kind of move that a long snapper makes that usually gets flagged. He described it as slow motion, not even a normal motion, certainly not a jarring try to draw him offsides motion. That would have been a first down had it been called offsides. It would have been a big play. And of course, you know, Robbie Chosen's defensive pass interference at the end of the first half that wasn't called was a joke. Look, let me be clear. None of these missed calls, bad calls, were going to affect the outcome of the game. It just, there were a lot of them in that game yesterday, and it seemed like Washington was on the short end of the stick on a lot of them. Cosme was back. He did replace Wiley, as Steve Suter emphatically said he would. He said, there's no chance you can take Chris Paul out of the lineup. I thought Cosme held up well. Review of all 22 could reveal something different, but I thought he was good in pass pro. And I thought the pass pro at times was good and at other times not so great. Brandon Aubrey, man, 61-yard field goal, now the all-time record holder with five career now, 60-plus field goals. There are many more to come with this dude. By the way, Dallas had a lot of penalties in the game, too, 10 for 79. I think Kinlaw drew two holds in the game. I think he did. So Dallas wasn't at their best or their cleanest, and yet they scored 40-plus for their third time this year at home. They've only had three home games. They scored 40 and beat the Giants in overtime. They scored 40 and tied the Packers in overtime. And they scored 44. Three home games, 40-plus in all three. And by the way, Daron Bland, he now has six career interception returns for touchdown. Now, Rod Woodson holds the NFL record, 12. But remember in 2023 when Bland had five of them, and he earned All-Pro that year. That was kind of an easy one. I mean, Mariota under pressure, about to get sacked, just chucked it on out there for Bland to pick it off and run it back for six. All right. Your turn, 301-230-0980. I promise. I see all of you on hold. We'll start taking calls when we come back. Your chance to vent here on this Monday following a blowout loss to the Cowboys. Lots of big picture takes, I'm sure, and lots of micro, you know, takes from the game yesterday. I do want to tell you real quickly before we break that we had some HVAC problems, and we called Foley Mechanical, and they delivered big time. Dan Foley is the owner. He came out himself, dealt with my wife and I. One of the more impressive people in business in this area. He owns 100% of the company. No franchise, not some private equity firm, you know, division. He controls the quality from the equipment to the people he hires. His team, they're professional, they're skilled, they are sharp. Foley Mechanical is a full service heating, air conditioning, hot water, and boilers company, and they are the go-to for older homes with radiator heat, a real specialty for Foley Mechanical. They work across the DMV, DC, Maryland, and Virginia, and they proudly install Amana HVAC equipment. it. If your system needs help, my recommendation, if you want it done right, is to call Foley Mechanical. You can go to foleymechanical.com, but mention and ask for Dan, Dan Foley, and tell him that I told you to call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
One timeout left for Dallas. After the sack, it's Prescott. Launching, going deep. Pickens with good coverage. Oh! He's got it!
It was easy at times, wasn't it, for Dallas? They basically, for all intents and purposes, in three quarters, 37 points over 400 yards. They were toying with Washington defensively and offensively in this game. They needed to match. They needed to possess the football. They needed to win the game on offense, and they didn't do that. 44-22, day after, your opportunity right now to vent with, by the way, you know, Kansas City on deck. The line was 5.5 points before the game. It was off the board last night. I would assume it's going to be pretty much off the board. You may see numbers out there.
9.5.
What'd you say?
9.5 going into Monday night. That is the current spread on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
So they must assume Jaden's not playing.
That's
it was
what
5.5
like.
Yesterday. I'm seeing 10.5. Wow, I just pulled it up. I'm seeing them as a 10.5-point underdog on Monday Night Football. So they are clearly betting that Jaden is out. And maybe they know something. We'll find out today. We'll keep our eye on the reporting. And Dan Quinn will address the media at 3:30. Chris, I'm sure we'll have that for you when it happens. All right, your turn. 301-230-0980. Let's start with our guy Joe in Springfield. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, Joe? How are you?
Well, let me vent a bit. I have one positive thing, but I do have to leave a big question to you about yesterday. What I liked was Daron Payne. You talked about Daron Payne has had a great season, and having Javon Kinlaw on the beside him, it's been great having seen the two of them play with each other because it's been a difference. I mean, the three batted passes he had on the safety, but remember, the very first pass that Prescott threw, he literally threw it to Payne. Payne could have had a pick six.
Oh, yeah, forgot that play. Great call, Joe. He did.
Yeah.
He did. He almost had a pick on that opening drive. True.
Yeah. So my question to you, because I'm not even going to discuss the penalties. I mean, some of them were questionable, but Marshawn Lattimore running to Quan Martin, let's not even go there because I was messed up. But here's my questions to you going into next week. What is our identity after 7 weeks? What are we planning on doing after this? We got three more primetime games coming up. It's not looking good, and I'm totally honest when I say that. I know going this game, we had our three top receivers, well, two, because Noah Brown's on IR, and it would be tough. And now our quarterback is in jeopardy with a hamstring injury. We have three more primetime games coming up. We have more elite quarterbacks playing, which we did not face last season. I agree with you because it was going to be tougher now with Mahomes, Sam Darnold, and Jared Goff. Where are we going to be after the bye week, after we play Madrid against Miami? Are we going to have a season? It doesn't look good right now.
Yeah, they're going to look. This is a moment, you know, and it's a moment, by the way, where the coach has to get it together as well. And that's what I'm interested in. What are they going to do to address what is now a defense that is leaking like a sieve? What are they going to do if Jaden can't play a couple of games? And by the way, if he can without the, you know, receivers, because there's no guarantee Debo and Terry will be back anytime soon. I'm hopeful Terry will be back. It sounded like he was getting closer. Debo probably shouldn't have played on Monday night. He didn't look like himself, and there were discussions after the fact that he was pretty close to being inactive for the game against the Bears. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Look, I think Monday night is going to be pretty difficult. But then you've got four games in which three of them are at home and one of them is in Madrid against a team that right now might be the worst team in the league in the Dolphins. So there's a long way to go. I do feel like because of the injury to the quarterback and the fact that the defense is truly bad, we're teetering right now. We're teetering. And like the next three to four games, obviously, you know, you still have after three or four games, you know, another six or seven left. I kind of feel like these next four are going to determine the season. And the Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions, Dolphins, Broncos, right, with, you know, three of those games at home after the Chief game, one of them in Madrid, you probably have to go no worse than 3-2 in those games to get to 6-6 entering the last five to really feel like you've got a legitimate shot. And you got to go into those last five feeling like you are on an uptick health-wise and otherwise.
And four or five of those, Kevin, are against division opponents.
Which will be the opportunity. Create an opportunity for him, no doubt. Thanks, Joe. As always, let's go to Taylor in Chicago. Taylor, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin?
How are you?
Doing okay. Look, I got a few points. You can't win a game and excel on offense if your top three receivers are injured. It's just not. It's impossible. The replacements basically can't win games against starters. That's never happened in the NFL, and it won't happen. Our DBs just look horrible. Amos, I really don't blame too much because he's kind of catching up to the speed of the game still. But Lattimore, I mean, he was getting picked on and picked on over and over and over again. And on that Lamb touchdown, they ran into each other.
They've been
like
doing it all year.
Bears movie. It's like, it looked horrible.
It's really absurd.
Jaden keeps getting hurt. He's too light in the you-know-what. I think, personally, he has to add 15 to 20 pounds of muscle somewhere. Lower body, upper body, don't really care, but the training staff has to do that for him for next season. He's having too many muscle injuries. He's getting banged up too many times to carry the ball, and he's just too light. My last point is every year I go to an NFL game, typically never I go to a Commanders game, but this year I'm going to the Monday night game in Kansas City. I was so excited when I bought my tickets, so excited about my flight, excited when I bought my hotel. I was like, hey, I'm about to go to fly to KC. I'm going to eat at 1587. I have a reservation there, which is hard to get. I'm going to get a beef on bun on bread at Gates and watch Mariota stink it up. No, thank you. I think the season is obviously, if we don't go and win the next, to your point, go in the next to get back to 6-6 over the next few weeks, it's tough sledding, and there's no way with this team where we are and injured right now that we're going to be able to see a playoff berth if this keeps continuing to happen. So.
These seasons turn on a dime. We see it all the time. Things that happen make no sense. I mean, if the Giants hadn't blown what was a dominating three-quarter 19-0 lead, the Giants right now would be 3-4 and trending much more upward in the division than Washington would be. It's a long way to go. You know, Philly's win yesterday. I mean, you know, they can't throw the football, and then Jalen Hurts has the perfect day offensively throwing the football. There's a long way to go here. There's a long way to go. I said this in the open. I do feel more alarmist today than I thought I would feel, partly due to the quarterback being injured again, the team being injured again with even an Armstrong injury, and just the realization that We are stuck in year two of Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr. with another bad defensive football team. And this year, you don't have Jake Haener and Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson coming up. You have Patrick Mahomes followed by, you know, the Seattle offense and then Jared Goff. You got Bo Nix, who's playing at a high level. And you still, late in the season, have Prescott again, Jackson Dart for the first time, and two against Hurts in Philadelphia. Last year, you know, this is something that we talked about all offseason. They were really, really good, and they overcame that bad defense. But part of it was that, you know, they had some good fortune, you know, in terms of the teams they were playing and when they were playing them. This year, it hasn't worked out that way. They got a little bit lucky facing Russell Wilson and the Chargers when they were banged up along the offensive line. But it looks like they're catching the Chiefs at the wrong time. And we'll see what happens the rest of the way. They're going to go play them anyway, regardless of what any of you think. But I am a little bit more disappointed and panicked today than I thought I would be, because I did think there was a chance they would lose the game. I thought they would play well on offense and win the game. I really did. Dallas is not a good defensive football team. They changed up the way they played, and they had the ability to change up the way they played because, you know, Matt Eberflus essentially said, yeah, you guys don't have any receivers that we've even heard of. We're pretty sure that this is the game in which we can load the box to stop the run and play man coverage, which we don't play very much of. Ian, go ahead.
Kevin, as you know, you and I went back and forth a little bit yesterday evening via DM. I'm glad to see you're panicked, and I'm glad to see you're disappointed, because this is unreal. There were multiple fans during the offseason saying very fair questions. Hey, why don't you have Terry in earlier? And you can blame it.
Why don't you have what?
On Terry's Terry McLaurin.
Oh, Terry, I'm sorry.
I don't recall. Was it Paulie who said that there's a chance for a soft tissue injury? That came to fruition. Then I questioned bringing in Debo. I know it's just for a fifth, but you wanted him, or Adam Peters brought him in not to be a backup receiver. He brought him in to be one of the core receivers. He's old and injury prone. And guess what he's become? Injury prone.
Yeah, but there was no downside to bringing in Debo Samuel. I mean, that was very little risk, high reward. Go back to Terry. That's a better conversation. You're dead wrong about Debo. There just wasn't a lot of risk there. And he's a perfect fit for this offense. And you've already gotten an S-load out of him to help you win the three games you've won. So move back to Terry. That's a better leg for you to stand on.
No, Kevin, if the goal is to win a Super Bowl, you need to have a receiver be there the whole season. Even if he came in as a seventh round or a seventh,
You can do both. The point is, there wasn't a lot of risk there.
Kevin, at the beginning of this offseason, who was their starting three wide receivers? Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, and Debo Samuel. Is that correct?
Yeah. And they were all out yesterday. Yes. Move back to Terry, though. I want to hear where you were going with Terry. Because I think this is an interesting conversation, has been an interesting conversation, and will continue to be. So go ahead, state your case.
So on Terry McLaurin, when he didn't play this entire offseason, you ran the risk of him getting a soft tissue injury, which is what has occurred. I think if you were Adam Peters, you make that deal that you offered at the end, which is the 44 guaranteed and that extension, much, much earlier. Because
how do you know they didn't? I'm pretty sure that was pretty much on the table from the just after the early stages on. Okay, Terry and his agent ended up bowing to come way, way down to accept that deal.
So your assertion is they offered that exact deal early on, and it's
yes,
100%
not Terry. At the beginning, but early enough. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if I agree with that.
It doesn't matter. That's the least of the issues. The bigger issue is, and I've heard this so many times over the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure I'm going to hear it all this week. Terry, the soft issue, Paulie nailed that. And I think we all said, you know what? There is some truth to that. Yeah. When guys hold out, there just always seems to be a soft tissue issue. But that aside, like this idea that the team was the culprit in all of this, I just completely disagree with it. I think the team went well beyond what they needed to because they did want Terry signed to a contract extension. They didn't have to do it. There's nothing, and it doesn't happen all the time, where a player at his age going into the last year of his deal gets a big contract extension. So, A, they embrace the idea of actually giving him $45 million or generational, one more contract of generational money when they did not have to do it. And it was Terry and his agent that had a delusional picture in their minds of what that extension should mean. And that's why it lasted that long. That's my belief. I think it's grounded in some information that's been out there for a while to a lot of us in the media, and he should have, I'm not blaming just Terry, and I didn't all along, I didn't blame just Terry. He is a grown-up, but his agent thinking that he was Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase or even the DK Metcalf deal is what held this thing up for weeks and then months on end, in my opinion. He should have signed what they offered him, you know, early enough and been in camp because he got a deal in which he did sign, and I think he was smart to sign it because they didn't have to offer it and he didn't have to make $45 million of guaranteed money when that money would have never been there and available for him next year. I think that he is at the very least, you know, 70% of why he wasn't in, he and his agent, in my opinion. What else?
Can I get a rebuttal on that?
Yes, you may.
Okay. Do you think he was offered the deal that you alluded to before he did that 40-minute press conference diatribe?
I don't know the exact deal, but you know from the very beginning, I said they don't have to do this, but if they do it, it can't be more than $50 million guaranteed. It just would be a horrible precedent to set. And he wanted $80 to $90 million guaranteed.
I understand.
It just was never going to happen. You know what? If anything, what the team could have done in retrospect is gone to Terry and his agent and said, look, we're just so far apart. Let's put this on hold, and we'll address it, you know, after next season. And you'll have the opportunity to go to free agency if you want after this upcoming season.
Kevin, myself and others called in saying that because what they did is the worst case solution. They
try to be nice.
Something that was. Yes, they were trying to be nice, and they almost, like, created this disrespect.
Maybe,
and
but would Terry have held out?
I don't know, but again, comment.
Well, that's a big question, though, right? Like, we're sitting here saying, and we're agreeing on something, maybe the team just should have never offered, you know, even broached the conversation about a contract extension. But don't you think Terry would have demanded one and would have held out anyway?
Honestly, if we could go all the way back, I think the minute they knew they didn't want to offer Terry what he was requesting, they should have traded him before the draft and drafted a wide receiver.
Well, that's a new wrinkle because I don't think you suggested that one back then.
No, but my point is, when you know
this, we knew pretty early on that Terry and his agent were asking for an outrageous contract.
Right. And so if you knew that and you're like, look, we're not going to meet him because of our analytics say receivers over 30, blah, 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 then you move on from him as quickly as you can.
How about me suggesting the following to you? And this will piss everybody off. They probably, maybe for a quick second, maybe considered it. But you know what? His market wasn't worth it. because of the money he was asking for, and it would have been a very difficult trade to make because nobody, as Diana Russini reported and others, nobody around the league would have paid Terry what he was asking for. That was reported by multiple people. All right, I want to move on. What else? Oh, don't. Okay, Ian, sorry. Max dropped you accidentally. We want to move on anyway. But I knew Terry was going to be a part of the conversation today. My opinion is what it's been. The team did not have to offer him a contract. He was under contract. They offered him a contract because they did like Terry, because they did respect Terry, because they did want him back for more than just 1 year. But the idea that Terry and his agent had was so delusional relative to what his true value in the market was, it created a weeks and months long confrontation that didn't end well. You know, and it's not a pleasant thing right now. I agree. I hate the way it ended. I think, honestly, at the very beginning, if there had been some recognition of, hey, we can't ask for that, let's try to get to something. Well, they could have gotten to something where they ended up getting to much earlier and he could have been in camp. With, by the way, wow, at 30 years old, I got $45 million more in guaranteed money, and I've got a chance, if I play well over the next couple of years, to make a lot more than that. We're just not going to see eye to eye, me and many of you, on the Terry issue. I acknowledge that. The team, from my standpoint, didn't have to do it, and they were being incredibly generous to do it. Not for just generosity's sake, but because they liked the player, and they wanted the player back for more than just 1 year, his last contract year. Let's go to Jeremy. Jeremy, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Did I just listen to 20-minute conversation about Terry McLaurin's contract? Are we kidding me? Coming off a 44-22 loss to Dallas? We shouldn't have done a damn thing with Terry. We should have let him come. If you didn't want to play, don't. We'll fine you. And then if you played great, we'd give you a freaking franchise tag. That guy's, my ears are bleeding listening to that call. You know what?
Look, you know what, Jeremy, my ears are bleeding too, but I'm going to tell you, this is a big topic with a lot of people. I think you and I have been kind of on the same page as it relates to this for a while. They should have at some point said, take it or leave it, and if you don't do it soon, we're moving on and we'll start to fine the crap out of you if you don't show up.
Then we are a delusional fan base if that's our focus today. You know what the problem is? I turn on the San Francisco 49ers last night. Half their team is injured. I see guys that are probably from Texas A&M, Ole Miss, that are 6'4", 240 pounds, that run a 4-1 and are killing people all over the field and making Atlanta Falcons, who skull-dragged us, look like they couldn't do anything. They're winning games. You know what? The problem with our team is, the philosophy from the top is we are blinded by the success we had against garbage teams last year. And Jaden's greatness carried us and miracles carried us into the NFC Championship, which, let's be honest, we did not have the talent to be in then, and we most certainly do not have the talent to be in now. Our roster is so bad and is being completely mismanaged. It's insane. If Quinn isn't getting crushed today in the same way that our defensive coordinator is, what are we doing? What are we doing
with
the fan base?
Wait a minute. I agree with you on the roster. It's very limited. We talked about it. But if the roster is your biggest concern, then Peters is the one that you want to kill, right, today?
Absolutely.
That you want to go after.
They're both culpable. Yeah. Peters is definitely on the hook for this. But maybe if we didn't get Terry's stupid money, we could go out and get some depth. Wagner cannot move. He couldn't move last year against Andrews and the Ravens. He can't defend anything that's not a halfback dive up the middle. Guys,
halfback dive up the middle.
our philosophy has to be we have to get to third and four or third and or less and go for it. We cannot punt. We cannot defer any game. Our coach doesn't want to have a slow start. Why ever defer?
He didn't defer. Dallas won the toss and took the ball, just FYI.
All right, I'll take that. I'll take that loss. But we cannot stop anybody. We should never. I don't care if we're on our 10. We should not punt.
Well, you can't go for 4th and 10 from your own 10. You can. You're allowed to. But I don't think you'd actually advocate for that. But you're not. Your exaggeration is taken in good stead from me, because this defense for the second straight year is god-awful garbage. It's really bad.
This is my suggestion to the fan base. On Sundays and Monday, we're playing Detroit, Seattle, Kansas City, and we're talking about getting to 6-6, Kevin. Sunday, chill. Spend time with your family. Hope that we lose every game, and Jaden has a grade 2 hammy that keeps him out 6 weeks, so he's not banged up for the rest of the year, and pray that we draft talent, because, guys, we are not good enough.
Well, you know the problem with that. We don't have a lot of picks. And by the way, with your mindset, and I'm not disputing it, although I would dispute that the season is completely over at this point, because it just isn't. But I am alarmed, a little bit more panicked than I thought I would be on this Monday. But with your reasoning, now that I've gone on 20 minutes with you, is that they should trade and be a seller at the trade deadline. Deron Payne would be a guy that you could probably get something back, because they don't have a lot of picks for you to tank the rest of the season and think we're going to rebuild with the draft. They traded 8 picks in the offseason for 3 players. So
we swung and miffed and whiffed on Lattimore, right? Okay. But like, if you get rid of Payne, then you have to go find another tackle.
Again, I'm just saying that if your idea is to punt on the season and have it tank and then go after talent, there aren't a lot of picks, and to acquire more, you got to think about dealing guys like Deron Payne by the trade deadline. Thank you, Jeremy. Good call, as always. Everybody stay on hold. We'll get to more of your calls next. All of our NFL conversation on this show is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and on Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
On Twitter. Are you serious, Sheehan? The defense won the 3 games that they have victories in. Oh, dude. God, help you. This defense is horrendous. It is a disaster right now. It can't tackle. It can't stop the run. It can't cover. And I think some of it, if not a lot of it, has to do with scheme, play calling, coordination. I do. We'll see if Dan Quinn does anything about it. Yeah, defense was pretty good against Russell Wilson's Giants and against Geno Smith's Raiders and against a Chargers team that basically had a ninth grade offensive line from Paint Branch playing in the game. But against any decent opponent, it has been literally run over and thrown over for 60 minutes a game. It's a major, major problem this year, and we'll see if there are any major changes. By the way, somebody sent me the internet guy that does injury updates. I know I've had him on the show before, Jesse Morse, Dr. Jesse Morse. He said about Jaden's injury, right hamstring versus knee injury. His hamstring was stretched in an abnormal position. If his knee is involved, it's most likely an injury to his posterior meniscus. ACL unlikely but possible. You would think it would have been to his left knee the way it bent, but no. That was the knee he previously injured. You can see him grab the back of his right leg knee at the end of the play. Look, they said it was a hamstring injury, that he's getting an MRI today on his hamstring. So we shall see. 301-230-0980. Let's continue with calls. Our guy Mark in Largo. I couldn't wait to take this call, Mark. Go ahead. Have at it.
You know, normally I don't agree with Ian, but I think what Ian was trying to say to you, Kevin, and I'm going to let you, I'm going to explain it to you like you're a 10-year-old. Go back 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago, when Juwan Howard left. And everybody in this town lost their minds because Abe Pollin didn't pay. But we all said, he's not worth the money, right, but he's worth the money here. I totally agree with you. I wouldn't give, he's not worth Chase, Jefferson, Metcalf money. But, Kevin, what are your other options here? None. So I agree with you. That's what I think everybody has been trying to tell you. No, he's not worth. And that's what.
Well, first of all, not everybody's saying, trying to tell me what? Anything. This has been a debate ongoing for a while and been a very polarizing issue. I think the point is what you say.
Because I think.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I think what you're saying is, and I understood. Look, it's over and done with, and I get it. Now let's get to the real problem at hand here. Okay. Kevin, you need to start looking at yourself in the mirror and start asking yourself, is Adam Peters the right guy? And I've been on the air saying this for the last year and a half, ever since he made that John Dotson trade, that he acts out of emotions. He doesn't act like normal men act. I thought that John Dotson trade was a horrible trade. Thought it was a horrible trade. You got three picks from it, fine. But I still thought it was bad because you're taking away a guy.
Did they get three picks for Jahan Dotson?
They got three picks, and how is that working out right now?
They got three picks for Jahan Dotson?
So here's the other thing, Kevin. Here's the other thing, too. Here's the other thing, too.
But you do this all the time. You do this all the time. You just spout things, and I need to go back. I'm like, Max, did they get three picks for Jahan Dotson? I forget. Maybe he's right.
They got a third rounder and two seventh rounders, okay?
Uh-huh.
You want a cookie for that? Okay, now, back to what I was saying. The bottom line is this. You traded for Debo, which was a horrible trade.
They traded Dotson and a fifth rounder for a third and two sevenths. So, in effect, they traded him for a third rounder.
So, in the past 2 years, you've gotten rid of two fifth-round picks, basically, for receivers.
Yeah, right.
You got rid of one for Dotson and one for
I'm just
Penn.
Pointing out you forgot a big there part of the go, trade.
So, look, let me ask this question, Kevin.
Ask me!
Come up here and talk about everything else that he's done. The reality of the situation is there's a lot of availability that these people aren't available. Every day he's trying to get people off the streets to come in here.
Yeah.
The number one thing you're supposed to do for your franchise quarterback is put talent around him. And, Kevin, let me ask you this. Of the six quarterbacks, who has the worst talent around him that came out in the 24 draft? Daniels.
Okay, but here's...
And it's not even close.
Okay, but there's always a little bit of nuance, which sometimes you're incapable of providing with your very emotional rants. The cupboard was completely bare when he got here. So the previous regime, and I think the guy's name was Ron Rivera, certainly bears some culpability for where the roster is now. Stop! Stop! Shut up! And let me respond. When you're talking and screaming and we're both doing it at the same time, it's terrible radio. So just shut up, slow down. I'm going to let you talk, but you got to let me talk after you've talked. All right? So the cupboard was completely bare when they got here. And what I've suggested for to you and anybody else that wants to, I guess, move on from Adam Peters after 19 months, is that you need more than just one off season to fix it, to fill that cupboard up with things. And by the way, a lot of the moves they've made have been very good moves. In fact, they participated and contributed to the team winning more games than it had won in 34 years and advancing the furthest in the postseason that they had advanced to in 34 years. I am willing to sit back and wait on the evaluation of Adam Peters for more than 19 months. You apparently are not. Okay. So we move on. What's next?
No. Here's the reason why I say that. They're not going to get rid of Adam Peters, and that's the very reason why they're not getting rid of Joe Witt. Because I'm going to tell you the conversation that's going on, and this is real talk, what I'm about to tell you, Kevin.
Well, versus the previous talk, which wasn't real. It was fake.
Well, whatever. Josh Harris is having a conversation with Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and Adam Peters. Now, if Adam is recommending that we get rid of Joe Witt, you know what Dan's going to say? Well, you know what, Josh? We've been needing a defensive end for the last two drafts. Hello, have we drafted one? See, that puts everything to rest right there about Joe Witt.
That's it. That's the walk-off moment, the mic moment. When that's Quinn just walks right out of the room and says, "Get out of my face, Adam," and the whole place is blowing up out in Ashburn. I don't think that's happening. I don't think it's happening. Yeah.
I know it's not happening.
You just said it was happening.
Joe's not going nowhere, and Adam's not going nowhere. Look,
you just said what's happening is Dan Quinn is in a confrontation with Adam Peters.
Right.
Right now. Right now. You just said it's happening right now.
Yeah, I do think that's. I think not only him. I think it's Cliff Kingsbury too.
I gotta go. You're exhausting. You're fun though. You're a lot of fun though. But I agree with you that Joe Witt Jr. is not going anywhere. I do have, as I had last week, I do have a hunch that maybe something's coming with respect to the defense. I do. But we'll see. All right. Ben's going to join us actually at 12:25. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to try to give all of you a shot after these words from a few of our sponsors.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.